You know I'm moving up the rankings when Pastor Mark rolls out my little stand here. That's when I'm climbing the rankings. Vicky, Mark just made my water fall on the ground.
It's not coffee, so we're okay.
It's all right. Good morning. Happy New Year. I know nobody really expected to see me up here today. Everybody was all anxious to hear the word for the year, and I guess I'm the word for the year, so it's me. Yeah, all right. Marvin's excited about it. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. No, PJ got a little sick, and, you know, he's the most relentless, I'm allowed to say this, he's the most relentless old man I've ever known in my life. He's not here, so don't tell him I said that. Cut this part out of the video, because he comes down with pneumonia, and then he's texting me early in the week saying, I think I'm going to still give it a go, and I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know. I was like, maybe I should take this one over. We switched. Maybe we'll switch back real quick. But Connie probably made him take a chill pill a little bit here this week. So the word will wait. The word for the year will wait till next week, and that'll be okay. Some other really cool, exciting news. Our very own Taylor Horse got engaged this past week. That's really exciting. When my teenagers start dating or fall in love or whatever title you want to give it with somebody, I have one qualification, and that's that the other person loves the Lord. That's it. I don't care if they're ugly as sin. Long as they love the Lord. They could have 14 toes on one foot, long as they love the Lord. And her fiance Jacob loves the Lord, and so that's all that matters. The Lord will work out the details. If he's in it, he'll work out the details. That's really, really awesome. So exciting time for her. You guys all get to congratulate her and stuff like that after this. Man, first Sunday of the new year. I'm excited for 2024. I hope that you're excited for 2024. You know, there's this thought that kept resurfacing in my mind. In when Samuel was born in the scripture, his mom prays for a son, and the Lord gives her a son. He honors her prayer and gives her a son, and she presents her son back to the Lord. She gives him back to the Lord, and Samuel becomes a prophet, and Samuel becomes the prophet that anoints and announces King David, who is a type and foreshadow of Jesus. So then when Jesus comes, there is a prophet, John the Baptist, who comes before him to announce the coming of a Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Joel chapter 2, the scripture says that in this time, this end times, as the time of Jesus' second coming comes near, he says he will pour out his spirit on the church, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That the next prophetic movement that leads us into Jesus' return is our sons and daughters' tongues being loosed with prophecy. And I just feel like, you know, as we come into this year, I feel like the Lord is starting, we're starting to see this more in our body, that the Lord is releasing prophetic word more and more through us. And be honest, there's times where it can be uncomfortable for us or whatever you want to call it if you're not used to that. But I just really believe that's just in the Lord's order here. So, I just wanted to get that out before I started my message. My message title today is Creating Kingdom Habits. Before we get into this, let's just pray real quick. Lord, we love you. And Jesus, this is all for you, Lord. Everything we do here is for you. We come here today to minister to you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts, our eyes, that we would know you better. And we give you this time, Lord. We pray that this instruction that you've breathed out, Lord, that it would lead us into this season of our life, this era of our life, and into this new year in the right way. So, Lord, we pray that you be honored, that you be blessed. We lift your name high. We wait on your Holy Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. One more quick thing that I don't think they announced up there. We also have a Western dance for the teenagers this Saturday. So if you got a teenager, you are a teenager, you know a teenager, bring them out to our Western dance. All you got to do is put on some jeans and a flannel. And I'm the DJ, and I'm a darn good one. So I am. I'm telling you, it's like my second calling. It's like my second calling. Anyway, my title today is Creating Kingdom Habits, and this is a little bit of a sequel, honestly, to my message from the beginning of December, which is how to grow your faith. It just seemed appropriate. To be honest with you, I kind of struggle with this one a little bit because I want to go into the deep places, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes the Lord gives me stuff that's just straight up practical. And I want to go into the deep places, and I felt like I was struggling with this one, and the Lord gave me this title and this message, and then I started to I opened up a separate Word document on my computer, and I started to try to do it on my own accord. Say, no, we're going to go into something deeper, and the Lord's like, no, we're not. We're going to stay right here because this is really important. And I've got confirmation on confirmation. This is exactly where we're supposed to be right now. And it's the first Sunday of the year, and a lot of people are evaluating their habits and their lives and their ways of being. And I think that it's appropriate for us to understand how to create kingdom habits. Lord, before I get into the meat, I guess you'd say, of this message, I just want to share the gospel in a very, very short order, because this is going to lay the groundwork for the entirety of everything that we talk about today. So God is the King of glory, three persons in one God who reigns from eternity to eternity, eternity before us to eternity after us, in perfect communion together with each other. And they create humanity. God creates humanity for the purpose of communing with him. He creates humanity for the purpose of communing with him. He creates this place for humanity to live and to commune with him. But humanity rebels against his kingship, and they're led astray and away from him by an enemy that hates the king and he hates his people. The king tried to lead people in the ways of life back to himself, but deception is rooted deep inside of them, and they consistently failed. They didn't know the king or the ways of his kingdom, and they were unable to relate to him and his ways. So the king could have easily destroyed humanity, these people who rejected him and his ways constantly, but instead he had compassion for them. He sends his son, his only son, the Prince of Heaven, to the people he loves to reveal and display himself and his kingdom to the world. But the people didn't recognize him because they didn't know the king. Some believed and others hated him so much that they came up with a plan to kill him. They murdered the son by hanging him on a criminal's cross. But the king is so wise. Amen. The king is so wise. He knew that this would happen. Him and the son knew that this would happen. And he had set out with a plan to use his son's sacrifice to free these people that he loved so much from the power of sin and death, so that whoever would choose to accept the precious gift of salvation from his son might forever be citizens of his kingdom, and not just citizens, but children. And to confirm his victory, he triumphed over the enemy by raising his son from the dead to display his power and glory to the whole world. And if, as if that's not enough, he sends the Holy Spirit to his people to help whoever would choose to accept that gift of salvation and new citizenship and standing in the king's family to know the king and his ways. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is currently in heaven. When we accept the gift of our salvation, we accept the gift of citizenship in his kingdom. Praise Jesus for that. Jesus came to us to reveal the Father and reveal his kingdom. And he left us with a promise that he'll come back again. And not only this time will he come back, but he'll come back with his kingdom. He'll bring his kingdom to us, and he will create here this kingdom, his kingdom in heaven. Praise God for that. He's so good. He's so good. You know what's cool is when Jesus walked this earth, fully man, fully God, he walked this earth. He had friends that walked with him. And he called these friends apostles. He gave them this title, apostle. An apostle is not a word that was invented by Jesus or invented by, I guess everything was kind of invented by Jesus, every word. But it wasn't first introduced to humanity by Jesus or by Christianity. Actually, it was a fairly common word in that time. And it's a Greek word that just basically means the one who is sent. One who is sent. And in the time and the culture of Jesus' life, the way that this word was often used was it was used by to describe a person who was sent by a king to a conquered land, a newly conquered land. And this person's role and his job was to adapt this newly conquered land to the ways of the homeland. To go into this newly conquered land and to make their customs and their culture align with the king's home. And so when Jesus calls these men apostles, what he's calling them to a life of teaching the world about the king and his kingdom, adapting us, as he's writing to us, adapting us to the ways of the king and this and his kingdom. What's amazing is most of the New Testament that we read is written by apostles of Jesus. It's written from apostles of the kingdom of heaven. People are sent to introduce the king and his kingdom to the world, to us. So when I talk about kingdom habits today, I'm not talking about doing better. I want to make that really clear. I'm not talking about doing better. I'm not talking about being a better Christian in 2024. This is not a self-help message. This is about rejecting the old ways of destruction and deception and death and instead consistently pursuing the ways of the king and his kingdom. These are the ways of life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, Yahweh wants to renew our way of thinking according to his kingdom and his ways, so that we might be able to perceive what is really good, what is really acceptable, and what is really perfect. Not based on the world's value systems, but based on his value systems. The truth is that most of us spent 10, 20, 30, 40 years of our life living and thinking along the lines of the world's value systems. And then we're introduced to this new king, this new kingdom, and this new citizenship that we have. And we have to now renew our minds to think according to the ways of this new king, this new kingdom, and the way that he establishes value systems. And so often what we try to do is we try to take our walk with the Lord in our heavenly citizenship, and we try to fit it into the ways and the customs of our culture. And it just doesn't fit. Doesn't fit. It was never meant to fit. When you look at Jesus's life, if you read any of the Gospels, what you read is somebody who literally looks like a foreigner in this world. The things that he does are absolutely opposite of the ways of the world. The things that he says are opposite of the ways of the world. Read Matthew chapter 5 and the Beatitudes. These things that he's introducing to people and disciples is what Pastor Don would call an upside-down kingdom. It's the exact opposite of the way that we value things and the way that we look at things in the world, through the world's eyes. So in this message, there's a part of this message that's really practical, but the practical actually leads us to the treasures of heaven. It's the simplicity of it that will lead you to the treasures of heaven. Because building kingdom habits, begins with knowing the King. And nobody teaches you about the King better than the Holy Spirit, who he sent to you to teach you about the King. And as a pastor, my job is not just to come up here and knock your socks off Revelation after knock your socks off Revelation to you so that you can go home saying, wow, yeah. My job is to introduce you more and more to hearing the Holy Spirit for yourself. Because what that will produce in you is that will produce in you revelation after revelation after revelation. You won't have to come here to receive revelation. You'll go straight to the Holy Spirit, who was sent by the Father in order to teach you about Jesus. Word. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about kingdom habits. And if I'm honest, this message, maybe this is one of the reasons I struggle with this a little bit. It's not jam-packed full of knock your socks off revelation. It's instruction for you to find it. It's instruction for you to find knock your socks off revelation. It's instruction for you to fan the flame in your own heart. So I want to focus today a little bit on not just kingdom practices. I'm actually confident that the Holy Spirit is a better teacher than me. And so I'm confident that if I can teach you to hear the Holy Spirit, that he'll teach you better than I could ever teach you. Right? So I want to talk about building habits, because habits are things that become foundational parts of our way of being. All right? I don't want to just talk about practices, just do this or do that. I want to talk about making these things permanent parts of our lives, permanent parts of our being. Right? And we know that right around this part of the year, everybody sets New Year's resolutions. How many of you guys set a New Year's resolution? Just a few of you. That's okay. Some of you probably did, and then you failed already. And so you're just shamefully not raising your hand. I see you. I see you. I know. So many of us try to create new habits. We use this time to evaluate our habits in our life, and then we try to create new habits that are healthy habits. And if we're honest, most of us last about 2 weeks, right? We last about 2 weeks into this, and then we are burned out on trying to create these new habits. And the reality is that's because habits are hard to create. They're really hard to create. And at the same time, the good news is that habits are also very hard to break. And most of you consider that bad news because you've only ever tried to break bad habits, right? And we know that when we're trying to break a bad habit, it's very difficult to break a bad habit. But the good news is that good habits are hard to break too. And let me give you a little practical example of what I mean by this. I have been going to the gym for a little over 20 years, and since I was a young teenager. And I've consistently done this. I started off just doing it because of football, and it kind of just built this practice in me. It built this habit in me, and I've been doing it for a little over 20 years. And probably the longest amount of time I've ever spent out of the gym was during COVID years when they shut down the gyms, which is still stupid. I'm still mad about it. I spent a month out of the gym. But they shut down the gyms. I wasn't able to go. And that's the longest amount of time I've spent out of the gym. What I do is I wake up in the morning. Before I go to work, I go to the gym. And the reason I do that is because there's nothing competing for that time, right, other than sleep. There's nothing competing for my time at 5:30 in the morning. My alarm goes off at 5:30, and my choice is to wake up and go to the gym or sleep. And there's times where, I'm honest with you, there's times where I wake up and my alarm's going off at 5:30 and my body's saying, we ain't doing it today, bro. We're not doing this today. I'm tired. I need a little bit extra sleep. You need to turn that puppy off and go back and roll back over. And you know, sometimes I'll give in and I'll turn off my alarm and I'll roll back over. And it's like 2 minutes later and I'm up getting dressed for the gym because my brain will not let me go back to sleep. My brain will not let me because I have created such a pattern of doing this that when my alarm goes off, I get up and go to the gym. I have a hard time skipping. Actually, Wednesdays are normally like my day off of the gym, and 75% of the time, you'll see me at the gym on Wednesdays because it's such a part of my daily rhythm. I've done it so often that it's just a part of my daily rhythm, and it's actually harder for me not to do it than it is for me to do it. And most of the people who don't have the habit of going to the gym might have a hard time creating that habit. You might say, I don't know how you do that. Well, you just do it over and over and over again. Eventually, you find yourself in a place where that's just what you do. and it becomes much simpler for you to do it. Because here's the thing, persistence develops habits and habits develop cravings. Let me say that again. Persistence develops habits and habits develop cravings. Because when we do something repetitively over and over enough, when we do something enough repetitively, we create neurological pathways in our brain. This is not spiritual. This is real. This is scientific. We create these neurological pathways in our brain, and they trigger us to think a certain way or to act a certain way according to the patterns that we've walked over and over and over again, right? It's kind of like when we walk a path through the tall grass. The first time you walk a path through tall grass, maybe it's hard. You kind of have to trudge your way through it, right? But you walk that same path over and over and over and over again. Eventually, that path becomes worn down, and it just becomes a normal, gentle walking path, right? And that's the same thing that happens in our minds as we do things repetitively over and over and over again. Now, the thing is like I said, most people have spent 10, 20 years of their life living according to the world's ways. All of your thought patterns in your mind are according to the ways of the world. And at some point, you're introduced to the king and the kingdom, and you have to start trudging your way through some tall grass in your mind, right? And it feels awkward at first, and it feels challenging at first, but you just keep doing it over and over and over again. You keep going through this motion. You keep trudging through the grass, and eventually you create a new thought patterns and a new way of thinking, and it becomes much easier for you to follow in those ways. So I want to talk a little bit about the process of building spiritual habits, right? The process of building spiritual habits, because if we're honest, most of us would say, I want to give myself to reading my Bible and praying more consistently, right? Most of us would admit that. I want to be more consistent in reading my Bible and praying. And if you told some people that, they would probably say, okay, well, just do it. The old Nike slogan, right? Just do it. And the problem is you tried the just do it method in 2023 and it didn't work. And you tried the just do it method in 2022 and it didn't work. Probably in 2021 and it didn't work either, right? You've been trying to just do it and it's not working. And just like whenever something goes wrong in our car's not running right, we don't just go start changing random things. What we do is we take it to a mechanic and he plugs in his little computer and he isolates the issue so that we can address the specific issue. So I want to help by talking about how we create some of these habits so that we can, if you've struggled with that, if you've struggled with making time with the Lord a regular part of your day, we can isolate some of the issues, what's causing those struggles, so you can redirect your focus and that you can stay consistent in this, right? Because this is the kingdom of God. Because this is the privilege that we have to be citizens of heaven. Let me start with this. All kingdom habits come specifically through revelation of the king. All kingdom habits come specifically through revelation of the king. So everything that we do here is not so that we can put a gold star on our calendar to say, man, I did it today. It's because we are seeking revelation of the king so that we can change the way we think and by the changing the way we think, change the way we live, change the way we react, right? So I've got three very simple kingdom habits, or three simple ways to establish kingdom habits. Well, these things will help you to hear the Lord and establish kingdom habits. Number one, we have to slow down. We have to slow down. This is the busiest era in human history. And I don't think it's because we have more to do than ever before. It's mentally, it's in our mind, the busiest era in human history. Our minds are constantly on the go. Very little time to slow down, hear the Lord, and rest. And I don't think this is all by the Lord's design. I don't think the Lord desires for us to live at the pace that most of us live. I don't think he desires that for us. I think he desires for us to slow down. And I'm actually fairly convinced that we make the enemy's job really easy when we're moving 100 million miles an hour through our days. He barely probably has to concern himself with us because we aren't going to give ourselves a second to stop and think. I notice sometimes I receive revelation when I'm in the shower or in the car or I'm laying in bed at night. And that's not because that's the only time the Lord speaks to me. That's not my scheduled appointment with the Lord, right? It's because sometimes I'm moving a million miles an hour in my mind through one thing after the next, and I finally find myself in a place where I can't have any distractions, and then the Lord speaks to me, and I get to hear him. I get to understand him. Sometimes I'll be laying, this happens more often than I like to admit, sometimes I'll be laying in bed trying to go to sleep, and it's like the Holy Spirit just drank a Red Bull, and he just won't stop talking, just unloading revelation into me, and I'm like, I love this, Lord, and I'm so thankful that you're giving this to me, but if I'm honest, could we have done this 2 hours ago? You know, I'm pretty tired, and I feel like the Lord's like, we could have done this 2 hours ago, but you weren't paying attention, right? And that's the truth. Don't we do that? Why does our best ideas come in the shower or on the toilet or I mean, seriously, why does that happen? That happens because the Lord is speaking all the time, but our ears are only given permission to listen in the time when we're not distracted. What if the Lord is releasing these words? What if he's trying to speak to us like he does in those moments all the time throughout our day, but we're just too distracted, too moving too fast to even hear him? The truth is that most of our lives need some pruning. Most of our lives need some pruning. This is called a walk with the Lord and not a run with the Lord for a reason, right? And if we're running through our days, we're probably not in rhythm with the Lord. When you look at Jesus, when you read the Gospels and you look at Jesus, he went throughout his journey from place to place, but he was never running. You won't find a place in Scripture where Jesus was like, come on, man, we got to get going. We got another place to be. Took off running. His disciples are chasing after him. Actually, there was a lot of times where the disciples were like, this guy would disappear for like 2 hours. And the disciples are wondering, like, what happened to him? It's been hours and nobody can find him. These people are waiting for him. And Jesus is moving at the pace of the Father. There's times where Jesus would be walking through a town and all of a sudden he would get distracted as if Jesus could be distracted. Something would happen and he would just stop and address it. Never in a rush. He would go here and he would go there. And the scripture says when his friend Lazarus dies and the messenger comes to him, he says, okay, yeah, we'll take care of that. And he stays for 2 more days. Never in a hurry. And I'm convinced that this is the pace of the Father. This is the pace that the Father wants us to move at. So that we can perceive him, so that we can hear him, that we'll give ourselves time to sit and let what he says register inside of us, to actually meditate on his word and his instruction, what he's speaking and what he's leading us to do, so we could slow ourselves down. I know that Jesus is still speaking. He's still speaking. God's voice wasn't present through 4,000 years, and then all of a sudden, he's just like, I'm done. I'm not talking anymore. He's still speaking to us. The Lord is still releasing rhema word to you. Rhema word is individual, personal now words, and he's releasing these individual, personal now words to you with individual, personal now anointing. That means that he's releasing word to you and instruction to you in order to bring his kingdom into the earth. And he wants to do it through you, but the anointing is for now. And so many of us, if we're even slowed down enough to hear the rhema word that the Lord's speaking to us, a lot of times we're moving so fast that we're like, I hear you, Lord. I'm going to get to it later. And the Lord's like, that anointing's not for later. The anointing's not for later. And I'm convinced that we miss so many opportunities to see the glory of heaven pour into the earth because he's releasing these rhema words with these rhema anointings, the anointing to bring to fulfillment exactly what he's speaking. And we're saying, not yet. I'm not ready. I'm going to do that tomorrow. We need to slow down to hear the Lord. If all we're giving ourselves to hear God himself is speaking, want you to think about this. God himself, God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, is speaking to you. If all we're giving him a day is 30 minutes to listen while we are reading our Bible, then we're missing a whole lot of words. We're missing a whole lot of instruction because we're moving too fast. And I really think sometimes it's just our phones, to be honest with you. It's not that our lives are so busy. It's that we fill every gap in our life with distraction. And we need to slow down. We need to slow down and hear the Lord. And he's speaking. He's releasing word to us. And he's really in him releasing word to us, he's releasing power to you. And we need to slow down, listen. Number two, create specific permanent placement in your day for time with the Lord. Psalms 1, David says this, verses 1 through 3. He says, "How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears fruit in its season. Its leaves do not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers." In Psalm 119, 105, David says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." See, we need the word of God. It's not like I'm just saying like maybe it would make your life a little better. I'm telling you that you need God's word. You need it. If his word is a lamp under your feet and a light under your path, then you need that to see, not just to see in your spiritual journey. You need that to see in your life. When you're at work, you need that to see. As a parent, you need that to see. As a spouse, you need that to see. As a son, you need that to see. You need it. We need it. I can't tell you how many times I lived in my life, how many seasons I went through where I felt like my life was total darkness, like I'm feeling my way through it, right? Feeling my way through these situations or these circumstances, unable to see anything. My life's producing no fruit. I have no peace. Everything around me seems like chaos. And the reason is because I wasn't in the Word of God. I didn't have the light for my path. And the Lord has given us this word as a blessing to us so that we would have light to see where we're going. We need it. Now, often one of the reasons that we don't succeed in making time with the Lord a permanent part of our lives is because we don't treat it like it's a foundational part of your day. You don't actually work it into the rhythm of your day. You treat it as an extra, right? We treat it as an extra, like if I have time, I'll get to it. But this is too important to treat it like that. It's way too important. Because what happens is we treat it as an extra, then it gets bumped around and bumped around and bumped around until eventually it's just bumped right out of our day. And if all the enemy has to do in order to keep you out of the Word of God is make you busy, I mean, that's not too hard. He's got a pretty easy job. If that's his only job, to keep you, all he has to do to keep you out of the Word of God is make you busy, we can give him the victory because he's going to win. It can't be like that. If all the enemy has to do in order to keep you out of the Word of God is create a YouTube channel that you're interested in, he's got plenty of guys on the payroll that can do that. If all he has to do is create an app that will feed you short video after short video, and you'll sit there and scroll for 2 hours and say, "Oh, I missed my time with the Lord today," he's got plenty of guys on the payroll. He can do that. We have to make it a permanent part of our day. The kingdom is a reflection of the king's heart. The culture of the kingdom is a reflection of the king's heart. The king sets the culture. And if we want to better understand the kingdom of heaven, the culture of the kingdom of heaven. We have to better understand the king and his heart. And you learn about the heart of God by spending time with him. It really is that simple. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing complicated. It really is that simple. You learn about the heart of God by spending time with God. And you'll never learn about God any other way. No other way. So we can't treat this time with the Lord like it's trivial. It can't be trivial to us. It can't be if I have time. It can't be that way. It has to be non-negotiable. It has to be a set time in our day where I said, I've given this time to the Lord, and there's nothing that's going to interrupt this. No TV show, no nothing. Nothing is going to interrupt this time with the Lord. Just like I go into the gym in the morning at 5:30. That's part of my daily rhythm. I need time with the Lord. That's part of my daily rhythm. And if I miss time with the Lord, I want my day to be thrown off. I want it to be that way. That's how you create patterns and habits. You set a specific time and you spend time with the Lord. And when you miss it, you'll notice it. You'll notice it. It'll feel like your whole entire rhythm of your day is off. I have this quote from C.S. Lewis tattooed on my arm. And it says, I believe in God like I believe in the sunrise, not only because I see it, but through it, I see everything else. See, this is not just for your spiritual life. Everything's spiritual. You're a spirit. You're a spirit. You don't get to take that part of you off and put it back on. That's what you are. It's what you are. It's not part of your spiritual life. It's everything. And your vision for seeing things as they really are through spiritual eyes is dependent on your communion and your intimacy with the Father. Because he gives you vision. And it's not just for the Bible. It's not that just he gives you vision for the Bible, which he does. It's he gives you vision for everything. He's not just a light unto your path while you have your Bible open. He's a light unto your path while you're at work. He's a light unto your path while you're at school. He's a light unto your path when you're walking through your daily routine, when you're at the gym, when you're being a husband, being a dad. He's a light unto your path, not just when you're reading your scripture. Number three, have accountability. Really simple, have accountability. People that have the most success when they set goals or resolutions are the ones who aren't doing it alone. Find someone who will start a reading plan with you that will hold you accountable. My dad reminded me of something yesterday, which just fits so perfectly into this as an example. A few years ago, there was one of the men in Men of Valor who said, you know what, I struggle to be consistent with reading my Bible. I really struggle with this. So a few of the men said, well, we'll do it together. So they started this text group and they read the Bible together every day. And they've been doing this for 2 or 3 years. So here's somebody who struggled to read the Bible that all of a sudden has created a habit of reading their Bible by committing to it and finding accountability with brothers. Right? And so some of us need that. Some of us need some accountability. Can you imagine what the Lord has accomplished in 2 or 3 years of somebody who has never been exposed to the living Word of God or not consistently been exposed to the living Word of God, who all of a sudden for 2 or 3 years is consistently exposed to the living Word of God? Can you imagine what the Lord has accomplished? Can you imagine the victories that he's had? Can you imagine what he's taken these people through? Somebody might sit there and say, well, yeah, I can't really name specific things. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. The Lord has had victories after victories after victories because you've consistently opened your scripture, the living Word of God, and allowed it to transform your mind and your heart. We have a really special body here. You know what's really amazing is something that I noticed recently is we have an increased demographic of young families, but we also still have many mature Christians, people that have been through it. They've been through it. And I'm entirely convinced if you come to me and say, I struggle to stay in my word consistently, that I'm sure that I could find somebody who will do it with you. I'm 100% confident I can find somebody that'll do it with you. So there's no excuses. One of the effective ways that we build kingdom habits is through fasting. And you guys have heard me talk about fasting probably more times than you like, but I'm not going to let up on it because I don't want this to be something that's something that we did. I want it to be something that we do, right? Because there's fasting is such an effective way of us removing distractions from our lives and regaining our vision for the Lord. It's not a hunger strike for things that we want. We don't fast as a hunger strike for things that we want. We fast so that we might have faith to move mountains, just like the scripture says. We fast so that we can weed out unbelief that's in our heart, so that we can have the faith to see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We don't fast for the sake of gaining grace. We fast from the position of grace. We don't fast to gain unmerited favor. If that was the case, it wouldn't be grace. It wouldn't be unmerited. We fast so that we might better align ourselves with Jesus and the life that he's called us to. And that's why I won't let go of that. I'll keep calling you to that. I'll keep encouraging you in that because I've seen the fruit of it. I've seen the Lord do wonders in people, myself included, when we commit ourselves to a season or a time where we say, I'm taking all distractions off the table and I am going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to suppress the cravings of my flesh, physically suppress the cravings of my flesh so that I can pursue better hearing the Lord. And if you give yourself to that, you will hear the Lord better. I'm sure of it. I'm gonna close with this. It is the highest privilege in the world to know Jesus. The highest privilege in the world. For us to be members of his family and citizens of heaven is the greatest privilege you will ever have in your life. As the body of Christ, we need to act like it. We need to not act like this is a standard that we're trying to live up to. We're just trying to dodge the enemy's arrows, right? We should open the Word of God and look at it as an opportunity for me to know who I get to be, not who I have to be, who I get to be because the Father sent his Son Jesus to die for me. I should open the Word of God and I should be excited to read and learn about the King and in the ways of his kingdom and who I get to be because the King sent his Son to die for me. It's a privilege. It's a privilege for us to know the Lord. It's a privilege for us to have the Word of God that we get to open up and read him. It's a privilege. It's an honor to do that. It's not a duty. It's not a standard. It's a privilege. Not we have to do this. We get to do this. We get to know the King and his kingdom. We get to adapt our life according to the King and his ways. And if we want to be Spirit-led people, we have to create spiritual habits. Because spiritual habits create Spirit-led minds, and Spirit-led minds create Spirit-led people. And so it really is that simple. It really is. The answer to all of your problems really is as simple as intimacy with the Lord. It really is as simple as that. And the enemy is going to do everything in his power in this year for the rest of your life to try to rob you of intimacy with the Lord because he knows as well as anybody that intimacy with the Lord is the answer to all the chaos in your life, all the darkness in your life, all the confusion in your life. Intimacy with the Father is the answer. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to rob you of that. And we can't let it be as simple as him making us busy. It can't be as simple as me not being willing to ask for accountability. It can't be as simple as me just saying, well, I'm just going to try to fit this in my day and hopefully I don't have too many things going on and then I'll get to it. It can't be that simple. We need to open up our Bibles. There should be time in your day where you sit down where the only thing that you have in front of me is your Bible and the journal. And you say, this time, Lord, is for you. I've been listening to you all day. I've been slowing down. I've been pruning my life and trying to hear your word, Lord. But this time I'm giving solely to you. There is nothing else around me. It's just me and you, Lord. And you know what? You'll come to cherish that time. It may be hard at first because you feel like you're giving up things that in your flesh you love. Your flesh starts to crave that TV show or that your phone or whatever. You start having those phantom things where you're like tapping on somebody texting me. You don't even have your phone on you, you know? But you'll start to crave that time with the Lord. We don't open up our Bible to, like I said, to give ourselves the gold star for the day. We open up our Bibles to know Jesus, to know the King and his kingdom, so we can adapt our life according to his ways. I want to finish by reading out of Isaiah 30, because I believe that this is what happens when we give ourselves to establishing kingdom habits. I think this is what happens. In Isaiah chapter 30, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. I came across this past week as I was preparing, and it just, man, I've read it 10 times over, and every time it just grips my heart. Isaiah chapter 30, starting in verse 18, it says, overwhelmed with bliss are all Overwhelmed with bliss are all who will entwine their hearts in him, waiting for him to help them. Yes, the people of Zion who live in Jerusalem will weep no more. How compassionate he'll be when he hears your cries for help. He will answer you when he hears your voice. Even though the Lord may allow for you to go through a season of hardship or difficulty, he himself will be there with you. He will not hide himself from you, for your eyes will constantly see him as your teacher. When you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear his voice behind you to guide you, saying, this is the right path, follow it. Then you will see your idols as they are, unclean. Your silver overlaid idols and gold-plated images are defiled. You will discard them like filthy menstrual cloth, saying to them, good riddance. Then God will supply you with abundant rain for seeds you sow. He will bless you with an incredible, plentiful harvest. And in that day, he will give you lush, broad pastures for your cattle. Even your ox and donkey that work the soil will feed on good grain separated from his chaff. On that day of great slaughter, when all their towers tumble, God will bless you with sparkling streams and bubbling brooks flowing down from every high hill and every lofty mountain. Moonlight will shine as bright as sunlight, and the sun's glare will become seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days rolled into one. That will be the day when the Lord Yahweh heals the bruises and wounds that he has inflicted. When we give ourselves to being entwining our hearts with the Lord, when we entwine our hearts with the Lord, that he's going to fill us with joy in the middle of our waiting. I remember the first time I did a substantial fast. The first time I did 40 days, it was just juice, fruits and vegetables in liquid form. And I found myself in the midst of this fast, and I hadn't been hit with this massive revelation or anything like that in the middle of this, but I had just spent time, precious time with Jesus. And I felt like I was waiting for that, this is the reason you did that, you know? I was waiting for that breakthrough thing. And at the end of the day, in the midst of that waiting, I was so full of joy. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we entwine our hearts to the Lord, he fills us with joy in the middle of our waiting. This isn't a guarantee that you're not going to go through hardship. Actually, the scripture says that hardship is almost guaranteed to come. But in the middle of that hardship, here's what the scripture says. You will see him. That he'll be with you and you will see him. That's the greatest blessing in the world. He says that as you entwine your hearts to him, that what will happen is that he will supply you with abundant rain for the seeds that you sow. That you'll sow seeds and out of that seeds you'll see flourishing because he starts to water the ground which you've sown seeds on. And when all of the world is falling apart, when destruction is everywhere, he'll bless you. You'll find blessing in it. And I believe the Lord is leading us into, who knows what the word is for next year? I don't know what the word is for next year, but here's what I know. The Lord desires the hearts of his people. He doesn't just want our actions. He doesn't want us to check a box. He desires the hearts of his people. He wants us to adapt our lives and our habits and our way of being according to his will and his kingdom. I'm gonna pray for you today. And I just pray that if you're in here and you're a new Christian or you've been struggling to stay in your word, that this would be a year where you see persistence, where you persist in being in the word, where you set this as a permanent part of your day and a permanent part of your life, and you sit with Jesus and you let the Holy Spirit change your heart. I pray that this is a year of increase for us, and not just because Pastor Jeff is up here giving the most dramatically good revelation, but that you get with the Holy Spirit and you receive revelation of who Jesus is for yourself. I pray that this is the year of that for you. One last thing. Pastor Jeff texted me this past week, and he wants us to pray for Tim. So if we could pray for Tim. Tim got elected to East Palestine City Council. I don't think Ty is here today. Ty got elected to Columbiana City Council. Ty already had his first meeting, I believe, and Tim will have his first meeting upcoming. But we want to pray for them because we have people that are kingdom-minded in positions of council for our cities, and that's really, really awesome and really, really important. So we want to pray blessing over them. So if you're a man and you want to pray, we're going to pray for Tim after I pray closing here. Just Jesus, we love you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you that really that everything that we desire, Lord, is right before us. That you offer it to us. You say knock, and the door will be open to you. That it really is as simple as opening the Word of God and spending time with you, Jesus. It's not complicated. We're thankful that all of the answers to the chaos and the darkness, all of the problems, the answer is you, Jesus. God, I pray for every one of us in here that as we give ourselves this year to evaluating our habits and our lives, that everything, every part of our day, every part of our week, every part of our month, every part of our year would be subject to you, Lord, and your authority. We open our not just our hearts, we open our lives, Lord, for you to erase things that need to be erased, rip out pages that need to be ripped out. Because, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need to hear you. Lord, I pray for every person in here who may be struggling to find time in their day to sit with you, Lord. I pray that you would give them clear direction, Jesus. Clear direction of how to adjust their life and adjust their schedule to make time with you the most important part of their day. More than anything, Jesus, we're thankful for your sacrifice for us. That you gave your life so that we might be part of the Father's family and the Father's kingdom, so that we might come to him.
So we just lift your name high, Lord. We love you. We praise you and honor you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Mm-hmm.